Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 verses 26 to 34. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, 'To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade.' And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." So far, the word of God. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. It's probably going to be difficult to do this, but let's try for a minute to imagine that we've grown up our whole lives and never even seen a seed. We have no idea what one is. So as far as we know, plants just spring up out of nowhere. And then someone comes to us, and they have a little apple seed, maybe, and they say to us, "If you plant that in the ground, it will grow into a large tree." Would any of us believe that person? If we had no contact or no knowledge of seeds before that point, I highly doubt it. It's a miracle on par with none that something that small can grow and become something so large. We take it for granted because we're so used to it and we see it every day. But it is an amazing miracle from God. The Word of God is the same way, our text reminds us. We look at it and we see just a collection of stories, just the writings of some old shepherd from long ago. And yet the Lord tells us that in there is the power of life. This is the way that God works. He hides his power in common, earthly, small-looking things. Imagine back to the medieval days, even the ancient days, men were obsessed with the idea of magic. Actually, they still are today. They're just less likely to believe it, but they're still kind of obsessed with it. It's in all kinds of books, right? And the goal of magic is, when you think about it, the ability to control directly that creative power which belongs to God alone. What the medieval man would have liked would be to walk along the ground and point at the ground and say, "Frugus," and up grows a corn plant just like that. Or "Soligo," and up comes the wheat plant. A direct access to that creative power of God. That doesn't work. That's not the way God works. He doesn't give us that direct control, but instead he hides it in that tiny little seed. You plant the seed and then up comes the corn plant. And sure, you could nowadays scientifically explain some of what's going on to create that plant. But when it really comes down to it, that plant grows, that seed produces fruit, because within it, God has placed the power of life. This is the way God works. He does not give us direct access, but he hides his power in something small, something that we might say is common. The life of the plant is in that seed, and the spiritual life of man is in the Word of God. In our first parable, that word brings forth faith in an individual and causes that faith to grow until it produces fruits. Thus, the first parable is primarily concerned with that Word of God growing in our hearts. In the second parable, that Word of God takes the small and humble beginnings of the church, just one man and 12 apostles, and grows and produces a tree that spans the globe, so that every tribe, tongue, and nation, every person, every kind of person anyway, throughout the earth finds rest and shade in that peace and forgiveness which Christ offers. In both cases, however, the underlying message is the same. God's power is hidden in these small and seemingly useless things, but through them, God produces something great and wonderful. The first parable makes it clear that God's word planted in our hearts will grow and will produce faith. And please take note in the parable that we are not the plant or the seed, but we are the soil. It is God's word that is planted in our hearts. It is God's word that grows. It is God's word that produces fruit. We are just the vessel in which that word grows. This is a mystery, something we cannot understand. We can't understand because we don't understand how it works, but we also can't understand it because it's so contrary to everything we think that we know and understand, isn't it? If we want to produce something, we think, well, we need to go out there and we need to do something that will produce that thing. If we want to be a better husband, or if we want to be more loving, we go find a book about a how-to book and start practicing, start doing it in our lives. As the world right now is filled with 7 Steps to a Better Marriage and similar books, right? God says, no, there's no real power in that. There's no real power in you. He says, you want to be a better husband, you want to have a better family, you want to be more loving towards others. Well, the way to produce fruit is to let the Word of God grow in you. Instead of going out there and finding something to do to make it happen, the Lord says, go to the Word of God and drink deeply. It's a mystery, yes, but it's also something hidden, something we cannot see. Notice that the man in the parable, he plants the seed and then he sleeps and he wakes and he sleeps and he wakes, day and night, and the seed grows and he doesn't know how. The seed grows slowly over time. It's not something you can watch. You can't stand out in the field and watch the plants grow. Number one, because your wife will get angry that you're not spending any time with her. But also number two, because you can't see it growing. It grows slowly over time. And the Word of God also grows slowly within us. That's something that shouldn't surprise us. Everything we know about the way God works should remind us that, yeah, God works slowly over time. And yet, for some reason, we expect it to be different when it comes to spiritual things. We expect that. We just pray, and then God will just give it to us. It'll just be there. How many times have you tried this type of prayer? Lord, I could really use some patience. Can you give me some patience? I need some patience now, Lord. Right? That's not the way the Lord works. God's word is going to grow. And we don't understand how, but we do understand what it is that it needs. Right? Just like that seed again. We don't necessarily understand how that seed grows, but many, especially of you farmers, know what that seed needs to grow well and to grow strong. You plant a seed and leave it alone, it will grow. But you plant a seed and you water it and you fertilize it and you weed it, and it will grow stronger, faster. It will produce more. My brother and I tested this one summer. There was one summer, Aaron and I, my brother, we were supposed to be, it was our job to fertilize the corn. My dad had one of those fertilizer things that you screw onto the end of the hose, and then the fertilizer is in there, and as you water it, the water mixes with the fertilizer, and so you water and fertilize at the same time. And so we were supposed to hold that fertilizer hose on each corn plant for so long. I think maybe 10, we're supposed to count to 10 or something like that. And Aaron and I are like, does this really make a difference? Does this really do anything? I mean, you can't see the corn plant growing any faster. So we tried. There was one, we picked one corn plant in particular, and we held that fertilizer water on that corn plant twice as long as any of the other plants. And sure enough, that plant grew faster, it grew higher, it ripened quicker than any of the others. Unfortunately, that means it was also the first that the coons ripped down and stole. And I think that was the last summer that my dad tried to plant sweet corn, because the coons kept stealing it all. But that water, that fertilizing, worked. And when you water and you fertilize with God's word and sacraments, that which God has planted in your hearts, it works. It produces something. It has an effect, because the power of life, that spiritual power of life, is there. The growth is slow and unseen. And because we can't see it happening, we have a tendency to minimize and even disregard it completely. It's like my brother and I were tempted to disregard that fertilizing. God, Dad will never know if we actually fertilize the plants or not. Does it really matter if I make it to church every Sunday? If I participate in the Lord's Supper, does it really matter? We come to church and it doesn't seem to change anything. It doesn't really necessarily seem to help us out that much. We come to the Lord's Supper, we don't necessarily feel any different afterwards. We can't see the effect. And so we have a tendency to disbelieve in the effect. But the power of God to life is there. And that slow, steady growth in God, in God's word within you, means consistent, frequent use of His word and His sacraments. It means coming to church every Sunday. It means participating in the Lord's Supper often. Even beyond that, it means daily devotions at home. That faith, that word that's planted in your heart may grow. It needs that water, that fertilizer. Now, it's true that you can overwater a plant. And it's probably true that you could overwater your faith as well. You could probably use the monks, the Catholic monks, especially of the medieval ages, of an example of that, becoming too concerned with the superficial word of God and just going through the motions and doing it constantly. That's not good. It's not what God intends. I don't think anyone here is even remotely close to overwatering their faith. The power of life is there in God's Word and in His sacrament. It's hidden, we can't see it, but it's there to cause us to grow, to cause that Word to grow within us to produce fruits of faith. Everything we've just said about the first parable applies equally to the second parable and to mission work and the spread of God's kingdom throughout the world. In the second parable, God's kingdom begins small, like a tiny mustard seed, but grows quickly and spreads throughout the world. And that forgiveness of sins offered through Jesus is there for everyone to rest in that wonderful forgiveness of sins. And once again, we don't know how this is possible. It's a miracle. But we know what is needed. The Word of God. But if you want to share that word with others, you need to know the word yourself. You need to be filled with that promise, with that gospel. Again, it means coming to church. It also means staying after for Bible class. Bible class is your opportunity to ask questions, to dig deeper into that word, to really wrestle with that word and come to understand it. If I thought there was any chance of you guys, asking questions in church, I might forget Bible class and just take an hour in the middle of church. I know that's not going to happen. Bible class is also our opportunity to discuss, better methods, better ways in which we can learn to use that Word of God. Just like the farmer is always learning better and more efficient ways to cause that seed to grow. The power is in the seed, yes. The seed is going to grow by the power of God. But we can learn better, more efficient ways to scatter that seed, to plant that seed, to water that seed. That's what Bible class is for. The power is in God's Word, but we can learn how to better use and share that Word. What about this congregation? Is this congregation living or dead? Is this congregation growing or dying? If we were listed in the book of Revelation along with those seven other churches, what would God have to say to us? The growth of God's Word, not only in our hearts, but among ourselves as a church. The growth of God's Word needs to use God's Word. Not just sit and hear it, but use it. Remember what we said in our prayer, in our collect this morning, our prayer of the day? Mark, read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest it. What's your idea of a devotion, of a daily devotion? Is your idea of a daily devotion, you read a little bit of Scripture, maybe find a little bit of comfort there, maybe find one or two things to think about throughout the day? Kind of like your word of the day calendar. Okay, here's one word to think about throughout the day. Here's one thing to take from the devotion. It's not necessarily wrong, but it is making very little use of that power of life that God has placed into His Word. God doesn't want us to come to His Word and say, okay, here's one thing to think about throughout the day. He wants us to come to His Word and say, Lord, teach me what I have done wrong. Lord, I have all these questions and problems. Help me to find an answer. Help me to drink deeply from Your Word. Teach me to place my concerns and my prayers in that Word. not just take a little sip and go on our way, but to drink deeply, daily. Those things that seem large and important in this life are really nothing. And those things which we often think of as small and unimportant, those have the power of God in them. We saw that in the Old Testament scripture reading. That cedar tree that God was talking about, that was the king of Israel. And he was cut off because of his failure to listen to God. He was taken away and came to nothing. But that little branch, that little twig, that remnant that remained, from that came forth the Messiah. It's no mistake that the Lord so often uses that picture of a seed and a farmer for his word. A farmer is not exactly a highly regarded profession, is it? But should be. It's not so much. Now, back in the days of Martin Luther, the farmers were the serfs. They weren't any better than slaves. They couldn't even leave their hometown without permission from their lord. Most of what they produced was taken away by the government and the church. And that's not just in the medieval ages, but throughout the history of the world. And yet, nothing matters so much as what the farmer does it? If you don't have food and water, nothing else matters. You can be the most famous person in the world. You can be the richest person in the world. You can be the king of the world, have the nicest house and fanciest cars. If you don't have food and water, it's not going to do you any good. It's the most basic necessity of life. And that's what the Lord is trying to remind us of here. All those things that we get obsessed with, all those things we spend our time on. Got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Those are going to come to nothing. The power of life, not just life on this earth, but the power of life for eternity is in God's Word. The Word and the sacraments. There is the forgiveness of sins. There is the grace of God. Despite everything that we do to screw it up and to mess up our lives, the Lord, and we don't know how, is going to cause that Word of God to grow in us and amongst us as a church as well. But we pray that by His grace and mercy, and may grow stronger and fervent, more fervently. That He would give us, like that man in Psalm 1, He would give us that delight, that desire to delight in His Word, to water that faith. That He would do this for us, so that we may grow and produce and become His children. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.